David Rodigan, you're playing at the Stall 6 tonight.
Roll up, roll up, roll up, ladies and gentlemen. It's David Rodigan at Stall 6 selling some apples and oranges and pears and some lovely reggae records. Roll up, roll up, roll up, my lovelies. Not a mercy.
How can I imagine David Rodigan in his hotel room preparing for a dance like this? Do you go to the internet, download the latest dub plates and cut them and maybe call your DJ friend somewhere in the world and ask them what's the latest tune? Or do you go through your music? How can I expect David Rodigan preparing a set?
Preparing a set is usually based upon what I feel and see as I go to the venue. As you walk into a venue and you look at the audience and the type of people that are there, you can get a gut reaction. You do get a gut reaction as to what these people are going to want to hear. And depending on the size of the venue and the location of the venue, you are going to choose your songs. If it is a small, intimate venue, then you can be perhaps a little deeper in terms of going for things that perhaps not everyone will be immediately aware of. I think it's very important for a selector to play new music. Last night I played in Biel, and for the first 60 minutes I only played new songs, new conscious roots rock reggae songs. And I made it abundantly clear that this is what I was going to do from 1 till 2. And I played them with confidence. And I said, it is important for us to listen to new music. If you don't know these songs, forgive me, but please try and listen. This is the future of our music. It is very easy for a DJ to go and play old songs and hits. But it's also very important for a DJ to do that because the audience come out to hear old songs and hits that they know and love and they want to party. So I try to blend a selection of new songs with songs that are familiar, with songs that people value and love. Tonight at Stall 6, it is an intimate, small venue. Stefan Buzz, Boss Sounds. We associate him with wonderful classical selection. Of course, from Rocksteady and Reggae, from Studio One and Coxon, from Studio One and Treasure Isle. And naturally, for me, one of the reasons I do this gig is it is the complete opposite to Rota Fabrique, which is, 1,500, 2,000 people. This is a small, intimate venue. So therefore, you are able to, I think, be a little more intimate in the way that you choose to play songs. It is true that if I get a hot song like a Damian Marley dub plate, which I got just a couple of weeks ago of Them Never Make It, Them Never Stand There. I mean, yeah, obviously if I got ding email on that, I would burn that to a CD and I would play it tonight. But as of this moment, I haven't got any dub plates waiting to be burned via email from Jamaica. But that occasionally does happen, particularly in a clash environment where you're waiting for the very latest tunes. I think there is a danger also for selectors of perhaps playing, and although despite what I said of playing an hour of new music last night, I think there is a danger of doing that perhaps too much. But I believe that there are a number of new tracks around which are already gathering a lot of attention, and I think it's valid and justifiable to play those. So in terms of preparing, yes, in your head, you know the location, you know the promoter, you know the other sounds that are playing. So you have in your mind's eye a selection that you would like to play because you think that'll work. Sometimes that's not the case when you arrive. You must depend upon the attitude of the audience. And I think the other thing that's very important for a selector is to anticipate what the audience wants to hear. I think there is a danger of some DJs looking at their shoes. And by that I mean they're looking down and they're not looking out. They're not looking into the audience. Some DJs, perhaps through lack of confidence, are going to stick to what they believe the audience wants to hear and keep playing them, even if the audience are now starting to have conversations with each other and going out to smoke cigarettes because they've lost interest. I think it's important to keep the audience with you, to try and be one step ahead of them in terms of cooling them down and bringing them back up again, bringing them to the boil and letting it simmer down. So simmer down, control your temper, simmer down, when the battle will be hotter.
So Did I get that right? That when you come to the venue, you have an idea in your head of what about you are going to play tonight. Is it also what you bring with you physically on CD then, or do you bring all of your collection?
I entered into an experiment last year when I went to the Sierra Nevada World Music Festival. And the experiment was quite simple. Could I bring one small pouch of CDs and spend an entire night entertaining people with the music on those CDs? I thought it was an interesting experiment. The pouch was this pouch. And I filled it with one, two, three, I mean, not many CDs, all of which contained 20 tracks. Ska, rocksteady, vintage classical reggae, dub plates and new songs. It was a fascinating experiment because it made me condense my mindset into deciding what I would play. And one of the problems is that there is a danger of selectors having too much music. There's an old biblical saying, in the abundance of water, the fool is thirsty. You can have so many songs and you just don't know what to play because you cannot focus. One of the horrors for me of experimenting with laptop selecting was to be faced with an avalanche of music just rolling down on my screen. Where do I begin? What do I choose? I think it's important to be focused. I think it's important for a selector to say, when looking at a list of songs, I love this song. It's the B-side of a rare 7-inch single on Studio One. Of what relevance is it to an audience who's come out to have fun? Probably very little. Therefore, do I have the right to impose my taste upon a paying audience who've come to be entertained? I don't believe I have that right. I can occasionally take risks and play what I refer to as glorious obscurities. They are glorious. They are obscure. If I play one or two of them, people may join me in feeling and understanding why that song is special. They may discover it. It is very easy for a selector to play hit after hit after hit that the whole world knows. We know how to do that. We can do that standing on our heads. But it was a discipline which I decided was very effective because it's enabled me to burn my selection down to just these two pouches. That's what I walk with. I walk with nothing more. That's it. I got tired of going into a dance with my CD pouch, which was even that wasn't that big, and just turning it and flipping it back And the reason I went back to CDs, having experimented with laptop, was that I enjoyed the feeling of a record coming to an end, of that anticipation, of that slight panic of the song coming to an end and finding it, having to physically find another one. Take it out, stick it in, cue it up. Track 12, track 12, track 12, cue, press play. Ah! Whereas on a laptop, you never have that risk because you'll never run out of music. So going back to CDs is, for me, the closest I can get to playing records. And records, of course, was that process of selecting and queuing up and starting and playing and watching it come to an end. What was your question?
It was about, do you bring all of your collection to the dance?
It is impossible to bring all my collection. The only time I would consider bringing a pretty large amount of music would be in a clash, and that would consist of my vintage dub play selection, because obviously that would be critical for me in a showdown, in a sound system clash. But it is impossible to play everything. If you play the songs too quickly and too short, that defeats the object of playing them. And I think audiences get irritated by that. Obviously, there is a pace which needs to be established in dances by some selectors. And that pace can indeed, with some people, be very, very fast. Too fast for me. The identity of a selector is governed by the pace that he or she chooses to set when playing the music. It's not necessary to bring everything. It causes confusion, I believe. And I think it's been a most interesting experiment to focus my selection down and say to myself, would I really play this record? Is there any point to me playing this record? Is it just relevant to me? Would an audience find it entertaining? And if not, then I don't have the right to play it. So I try to be economical in choosing. And by doing so, I'm more focused, because then I know that from the 20 songs on this one CD, everything, absolutely everything on here has to be cherry-picked. It has to be ripe and ready for play. And if it isn't, then I'm in trouble. But in the same breath, I can take things that I know to be new and exciting. I think a perfect example would be Beres Hammond, would be Shaggy's new tune, Fight the Feeling, with Beres Hammond. There's one example of a song which is just immediate. It's new, it's fresh, it's not... and yet, the response that you get when you play it is just amazing. So I think a selector has to be quietly confident in choosing songs that he believes audiences will enjoy. And I think bringing too many songs just becomes confusing.
So what we can say when I look at this, is that what you bring tonight?
Yeah, this is it.
So it's the probably one of the selectors with the biggest collection of music in the world, but for sure also the one that brings the smallest to the dance. Yeah.
Because, as I say, it's an experiment I conducted last year, and I found it most revealing. I have compiled my own ultimate cherry-pick selection. Rocksteady 1, Rocksteady 2. Scar 1. Scar 2 is not necessary. There are 20 Scar tracks. I mean, if I look at Roddy's Rocksteady, it says, Something Special, Roland Alfonso. Which is, I mean, it's Roland Alfonso and the Soul Brothers. It was an amazing instrumental on Studio One. It lasts 2 minutes and 40 seconds. Sorry, it lasts 3 minutes and 27 seconds. I can play that to its full duration. Da-na-na, da-na-da-na, da-na-da-na, da-na-na-na. I mean, it's wonderful. Tighten Up by The Inspirations, featuring Jimmy London on lead vocal, produced by Lee Perry. An amazing record, 1968. Let's Go to the Dance, Prince Buster. Too Hot, This Town is Too Hot, Prince Buster and His All-Stars. Conversation, The Dub Mix, Slim Smith. The Beatitude, Slim Smith. Time Has Come, Slim Smith. Everyone knows I love Slim Smith. Three Slim Smiths. Prince Buster singing The Beatles' All My Loving, Keith and Tex singing Stop That Train, and Keith and Tex singing Tonight. There's 10 songs there. To do those songs justice, you need to play them for at least 2 minutes each. Simple arithmetic tells you you're already at 20 minutes. Let's do the maths. We don't need a whole bag of records because we just get confused. I remember back in the 60s going to sound systems, and the sound system would bring its entire record collection in an enormous chest. I mean, it would take two men to carry it in, a box, but a box like a trunk, like, and in that just stacked up. But to watch those selectors trying to find a song was sometimes a funny thing to watch, because they couldn't find it, because they had too many songs. In the abundance of water, the fool is thirsty. You're lost. You're surrounded by... I've been in clashes where I've played on back in the day where you only had dub plates. And I myself have suffered from this, and I've seen other sounds suffer from it. You go to the dance with too many new dub plates and you don't know what to play. You're completely and utterly confused because you've got too much. You need to be focused. So if that's just 10 songs, out of Roddy's Rocksteady Volume 2, my own personal compilation, then I can look on that confidently and say, do you know what? And then I can look at something like a CD I burnt in August of 2012, Independence Jam by Damian Marley and friends, then three songs from Berris Hammond's new album that came out last year, Feel Like Dancing, No Candlelight, which is number one in New York right now, and Can't Waste No Time. Those three songs alone. If I was to play 3 minutes of each, 3 to 6, 3 seasons, 9, let's call that 10 minutes. If I just play that, and every one of those three is just brilliant, then I can play One Life, One Love, the title track of the album, which is a cut of Carlton and the Shoes' Love Me Forever. Then I would play Carlton and the Shoes' cut. Then I'd play the DJ version that I have on special, Hell Is for Heroes by Big Youth. I'm already at 20 minutes with those six tracks. I can then play two brilliant instrumentals, which I love, Don Juan by Boris Gardner and the Love People. And I can play Jumping Jack by Ace Cannonball Bryan and his trio. Follow that, baby. You can't. That's just two CDs.
The Sound Clash. There was the Sound Clash on last Saturday, Cup of Europe, Herbalize It from Holland, Sultan against Supersonic from Germany. Supersonic took the cup. Are you following the clash scene? Are you still willing to clash around the world? Because you did that enough, no?
I think you summed it up. I've probably done it enough. I won the world championship in 2012 in New York at Irish and Chin's World Clash. And that was a big honour and a privilege for me with Pee-wee as my selector. Big up yourself, Pee-wee. And since then, I've not taken on any clashes. I'm not saying I won't. I'm not saying I won't clash again, because that would be foolish to say that. I do try to follow the clash scene. I try to stay up to speed. But I'm afraid that I have become a little disheartened by some of the music, which I frankly wouldn't want to spend my money cutting on dubplate, because I don't see how it would have resonance in years to come. It is for the moment. And the business of cutting dubs has become rather expensive, to say the least, with some artists. It's just, frankly, astonishing what they're prepared to charge, and I don't think it's fair. Especially when you listen back to the duration of some of the dubs and sometimes the lack of energy in the way that they're prepared and voiced. I've become somewhat disappointed by certain artists in their attitude to voicing dub plates. But yes, I do try to follow the scene. I have been clashing since the early 80s on Jamaican radio. I've been clashing in Jamaica from 1991 onwards. That's a long time. I'm not saying I won't do it again. I probably will. In the right location, with the right opposition, contenders, patron, with the right fellow selectors, it would be fascinating. And I also did something in New York a couple of years ago with Tony Screw from Downbeat. We did a sound system exhibition in the dub club in Los Angeles, which just brought the house down, because we played our big dubs, but we had nothing to prove. We just played them. And we didn't have to make speeches attacking each other verbally. That wasn't necessary. We just played the tunes. And we did this experiment with Sentinel in one, what was it called? 100%. It was last year, 2012, I did it. It's called 100%.
Full 100.
Yeah. And I did this, and I did a similar musical evening with Sentinel in 2012 called Full 100, where Sentinel invites sound systems to play the best of their dub plates. And that was a wonderful night in Stuttgart. No animosity, nothing to prove, no one to beat, because ultimately there will be nights when someone will win because the crowd are with them. Another night that same crowd will be with somebody else. It's a, you know, I'm getting off the point. I'm talking too much about it. But in a nutshell, I would say, Lukey, sound system culture and clash culture is very important. It has always been a mainstay of the music. It will always be relevant. I think that in recent years, it has not been as relevant because we have been lacking in songs of great depth and weight that we can cut on dubplate in Jamaica. That's been reflective of the type of music that's been made in Jamaica. And I think that's reflected in the fact that clash culture has not been as important in recent times as it used to be. There's one thing I think I have to say, which is, I believe, very important. I think in order for clash culture to continue, that promoters need to think about how we reframe the game. I think it is grossly unfair to expect young selectors to come up against veterans who are going to be at an advantage over the young selectors simply because they've got dub plates by artists who no longer are alive. Those vintage dubs are always going to be heavyweight cannons that can be brought out. I don't think it's fair on young selectors. So if we're going to encourage sound system culture and clash culture to continue, I think we would have to consider taking a stand where we say there will be no vintage dubs by artists who are no longer with us in a one-for-one. That would be very exciting, I think. That would enable young selectors to feel that they have a chance with their ideas for combinations with new artists. Let's imagine they did a combo with Chronix and Sizzler and Berris Hammond, and then that would be fabulous, wouldn't it? And they played that in a one-for-one. I mean, that would be just so exciting. Knowing that they could play that with confidence because they're not going to be counteracted by a Supercat dub or, well, not Supercat, by a Bob Marley dub or a Dennis Brown dub. I think that is the way forward, that we need to look at that as the future of the sound system clash game, to bring new talent and to give them hope and know that they can enter with a serious chance of winning.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Last thing.
Yeah.
The next, you did Biel and Zurich. Mm. You're going to do Zurich tonight. Next time we are going to see David Rodigan is on the 5th of July, back in Biel, actually, on the lake at a festival, yeah, together at the same evening with Popcorn and Stereo Lux. Are you looking forward to that night, Mr. Rodigan?
Looking forward to it immensely. It's going to be fabulous. I mean, what more could you want? Lakeside, Switzerland, in a summer's evening, with reggae music, live, and sound system culture as well, performers, bands. It's going to be wonderful.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay.